Hello and welcome to At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not so old. I'm Richard Davis, and I hope you'll stay with me for the next hour. Coming up in that time, we'll be hearing from a nutritionist about how we can lose weight and make ourselves more healthy without having to give up our favourite foods. Then Brighton Housing Trust will be telling us about the work that they're doing on the streets of Brighton and Hove at this particularly cold time of year. And going back to food, we'll be talking to the TV cook Ken Hong about cooking with a wok and some of the recipes that he has up his sleeve. Then a representative from the holiday firm will be telling us how we can save money on our holidays without having to take the children out of school during term time. And finally, we'll be hearing from a couple of young women who recently won a prestigious award for a device that they've invented which will help improve women's health. And in amongst all that, there'll be some music. As usual, I'll be giving out various email addresses, website addresses and telephone numbers during the course of the programme. So you may like to have a pencil and paper handy so that you can write them down. So let's get started by hearing what our nutritionist has to say. Her name's Juliet Kellow, and she was recently involved in a survey of people's New Year resolutions, which showed that for many people, losing weight is their number one priority. However, the way people tend to do this is by going on crash diets and giving up many of the foods that they really like. And Juliet says this isn't necessary. When I spoke to her, I asked her, first of all, to tell me about the survey.
There's some new research out, which was amongst about 2,000 adults, and it showed that almost half, 48%, are planning on prioritising weight loss over any other aspect of their health when it comes to New Year's resolutions. So weight loss is at the top of the list. Fewer people are thinking about looking after their bones, looking after their heart, their mental health, their mental well-being, their brain health, their immune function. It's all about weight loss. It's perhaps unsurprising at this time of year, as you say, after the festive period of overindulgence. But more worryingly, many people are planning on losing that weight in an unhealthy way. So they're planning on severely restricting their intake, they're cutting out foods, they're eliminating foods from their diet. And they're really kind of like pigeonholing foods into healthy and unhealthy categories, which is not something as nutritionists that we like to see. So, for example, they're planning to cut out unhealthy foods like, in their mind, burgers, pasta, sandwiches. But also, worryingly, from a nutrition point of view, one in three said that they were actually going to completely eliminate cheese because they were worried about the calories and the fat content. Now, as nutritionists, we know actually that's not great news because cheese is a really good source of protein, which we need for our muscles. It's got calcium and phosphorus for our bones. It's got vitamin B12 for our nervous system. So eliminating foods, we really need to be looking at our whole diet and looking not just at kind of like the calories in food, but also the other nutrients that it comes packaged with when it comes to trying to, eat more healthily in the new year.
I suppose there isn't any such thing as an unhealthy food, providing you don't overindulge in it.
You've absolutely hit the nail on the head. I mean, my main aim is to try and get people away from this concept of good and bad, healthy and unhealthy foods. As you say, there are only better for you diets and not so good for you diets. It's about everything that we eat in our diet that's important, and we can enjoy absolutely everything in within the concept of healthy eating. It's just about getting the balance right. And I think this is what concerned me. One of the other things that the survey found was that 7% of people, less than 1 in 10 people, were saying that they were going to prioritize eating better for their health. So it was all really about just focusing on their waistline rather than their overall health.
I suppose it goes back to the old saying that a little of what you fancy does you good.
Yes, absolutely. And again, it's about putting that into the context of your overall diet. So when I work with clients, I have four key points that I usually start off with them when it comes to looking after health. So the first thing is to stop looking at what they think that should be avoided in their diet and instead look at what they should be eating more of, what they should be adding into their diet. So at the top of the list, we obviously have things like fruit and vegetables. We also have more plant-based proteins. So that would be things like lentils, beans, nuts, seeds, soya products. We also have more whole grains. So making sure that we're swapping those white starchy carbs for the high fiber whole grain variety. So that would be something like whole wheat pasta, brown rice, whole grain breakfast cereals, wholemeal bread, for example. And then if we're eating fish, to make sure that we're having two portions of fish a week, one of which should be oily. So that's about adding more, what we should be putting in our diet. The second point is really about watching our portion sizes. So making sure that we haven't experienced portion creep over the years. It's very easy. Portions get gradually bigger and bigger and bigger until we're having very large amounts of food. And that counts, you know, portion size is important for everything we eat, not just kind of like what we consider the unhealthy foods. It's also the same for everything we eat. We need to watch our portions. Thirdly, it's really important that we make healthier choices when we possibly can. So a very good example here would be having the reduced fat dairy products. So having things like semi-skimmed milk, having fat-free yogurt, having low-fat cheese. So, for example, Eat Lean cheese, which is low in fat and saturated fat, but also very high in protein and calcium. So choosing healthier choices. And then finally, it's really about watching and being mindful about all of those kind of high fat, high sugar, high salt foods we have in our diet. So takeaways, processed foods, the snacks that we're actually having. We don't need to eliminate them. I'm not saying that at all, but we need to be mindful of the quantity and how often that we're eating those things. So really the four points: what we should eat more of, watching portion sizes, making healthier choices, and being mindful of those high fat, sugar and salt ingredients and foods in our diet.
And how do you know what is the best portion size?
Oh, it's a tricky one. I mean, portion sizes obviously will vary dramatically from person to person and should be based on how active you are, your age, you know. So obviously we know that teenage boys, I have a teenage boy and I cannot feed him enough, he's growing so rapidly at the moment, so the portion sizes that he eats are going to be different to what I eat. Part of the problem that we have though is we tend to have this one size serves all when it comes to mealtime. So, you know, mum or dad or parent or carer are in the kitchen serving up everybody the same size portion. And of course, that's why, you know, you find that often women who have lower calorie needs than men are having exactly the same to eat, you know. So we need to adapt our portion sizes to suit our lifestyle and our you know, what we do and our age and our gender.
You mentioned that women have lower calorie needs than men. What's the reason for that?
Well, it's simply down to body size generally. So women are smaller, and so they need less fuel to service a small car than a big car. So that's really the kind of, it is down to body size more than anything. But I think, you know, what we have to be careful of is that we aren't calorie obsessed. So one of the things that I often see when people are trying to lose weight, particularly with this severe restriction idea, we become totally obsessed about calories more often than not. And what calories don't do is they don't tell us what else is in a food. They don't tell us the amount of protein or the vitamins or the minerals or the antioxidants or the fiber in a food. And so what we need to be focusing on is taking a far more holistic approach and looking at the whole package of food. And where possible, we want to be making sure that the calories we have come with stacks and stacks of nutrients, you know. So snacks are a good example. We often get it quite right at mealtimes. It tends to be our snacks where things can go somewhat awry. So instead of having snacks which are really just based on lots of fat, lots of sugar and lots of salt, for example, we need to be looking at having snacks which are packed with nutrients. So some good examples there would be things like vegetable sticks with hummus. It could be a boiled egg on a piece of wholemeal toast. It could be avocado on rye crisp spreads. It could be low-fat cheese on oat cakes. So lots of those nutrient rich snacks as the priority, filling up on those rather than fatty sugary foods.
Now, people do tend to think that snacks really don't count, don't they? Have a biscuit with your tea and that sort of thing, and it doesn't count towards your overall intake.
Yeah, absolutely. And I quite often find one of the top tips that I use, quite often snacking is quite habitual, and we see people who, you know, you just made that perfect link of a cup of tea and a biscuit. And actually, if we want people to swap to fruit, what we actually sometimes need to do is you need to change your drink choice as well, because fruit and tea is not an inherent natural kind of combination, whereas having, say, a glass of water and fruit would be. So we often have to look at this. It's this holistic approach. It's about changing, making changes that suit our entire kind of like health and well-being. And I think the one thing to say is, you know, eating a healthy, balanced diet is going to support every part of your health. So even though we're not necessarily prioritizing our heart health or our bone health or our immune function, eating a healthy, balanced diet is great for your whole body from top to toe. So everything from looking after your brain and helping to lift mood right the way through to our bones and our joints, our skin, our heart, our lungs.
Going back, you were listing various foods that were high in protein and that sort of thing earlier on. You didn't mention meat at all.
Yeah, we're in veganuary, aren't we? So, yes, I mean, meat is one of those things. What I usually say, it's really important that we do eat more plants. That's the kind of like, you know, if we look at our national healthy eating guide that we use in the UK and around the world, actually, everyone around the world, most healthy eating guides are plant-based. So they have roughly 3/4 of the food that we eat should be plant-based. And of course, that fits perfectly with what I've been saying, fruit and vegetables, things like your starchy carbohydrates and things like your plant-based proteins. So it's about eating more plants, but that doesn't mean to say that we have to eliminate animal products. There's plenty of research which actually shows we could, as long as we're making plants the stars of the show and that meat and dairy products are the support acts, then there's absolutely no reason why we can't eat well for both our body and also for the planet by still including things like milk, cheese, meat, chicken, fish. You know, they're all important foods and they're very enjoyable. You know, a lot of people like them. They wouldn't be able to go completely vegan or completely plant-based because those foods are enjoyable. They like having them. They taste good, you know.
Well, you've given us very good advice there, Julia. It really comes back to don't give up the things you like. Just cut down on them and make sure you don't overdose on them and have them as part of a balanced diet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's really time to change the narrative and stop thinking about what we're eating in terms of our waistlines and think about what we're eating for our overall health, for giving us energy, for giving us great skin, for helping keep our heart healthy. We really need to change that narrative into overall health. And I think, you know, for me, we need to start thinking about this in a far more long-term sustainable way. So stop thinking about just making changes for January. You know, I don't particularly like New Year's resolutions because it does infer that we're going to do something for a really short period of time and then we're going to give it up. You know, it's kind of, I gave up my New Year's resolution. What we should be doing is looking at making these changes, which we can last throughout the whole year and moving into the following years for a kind of like an overall healthy body, healthy life, healthy mind, you know. So it's that changing the narrative to healthy eating for our whole being rather than just our waist.
Well, thanks very much for that advice, Juliet.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I would just say, if anyone wants more information on healthy eating or some delicious recipes, they can find those at eatlean.com. And also, I've got loads of tips on my Instagram page. That's at Juliet Keller Nutritionist. So there's lots of healthy eating and nutrition tips there too.
Thanks very much, Juliet.
You're welcome,
have a nice day.
And you too. Take care.
The nutritionist, Juliet Kello, was telling me how we can cut down our calorie intake in the new year without having to cut out our favourite foods. If you'd like some more information from her, you can go to the following website. It's www.eatlean.com. And Eat Lean is spelled EATLEAN. Well, now for a rather more serious look at the period following Christmas and how it affects people. Here's Chris English.
Christmas is over and done with, but as we enter into the new year, we don't know quite what it's going to bring. But if you're homeless or worse still, living on the streets or don't know where your next meal is coming from, that must be even worse. Well, joining us is Andy Winter from Brighton Housing Trust. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Chris.
Now, just those questions, how awful must it be for people who haven't got a roof over their heads, don't know where the next meal is coming from?
Well, they say Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, but for somebody who's homeless, it actually brings to them a reminder that of all the things that they've lost. So the last few days have been particularly difficult for a large number of people who don't have a home. They don't have families around them. So what we've been able to do is we've continued to operate a small service at First Base Day Centre. We've been able to provide services for people who are on the street. But the good news this year, believe it or not, there is some good news this year, is that the City Council has done fantastically well to provide accommodation for over 250 people who might otherwise be rough sleeping. So most people have had accommodation. There are a small handful who have chosen not to take advantage of the accommodation that's made available. And then there's also a further group who are coming onto the streets on a regular basis. People who are new to rough sleeping. We've seen between 8 and 12 new rough sleepers each and every week during the year. Now, for some of them, they've had accommodation tied to employment. And with the loss of their job, they have lost their accommodation as well. When people have been in relationships, it has tested many relationships to breaking point. And so as a result, relationships have ended and people have moved out. And people's social and financial resilience has been tested to breaking point. And for many, they have sadly, during the course of the year, ended up on the streets. But the City Council has done well to accommodate the overwhelming majority of those. There is food available for people in the accommodation, but for many of them, it's pretty boring. So there have been some other charities who've done fantastic work, making sure that they've had things like Game Boys and puzzle books and televisions and just the very basics to while away many, many hours of boredom. When people have come into First Base, we've continued to provide those services we have always provided. So if you were to go into First Base at 8 o'clock one morning, having slept rough, first thing you would do, you'd take a couple of towels and you could go and have a shower. That in itself has proven a challenge for staff at First Base Day Centre, because after each person has had a shower, we have to make sure it's decontaminated, not decontaminated in a pejorative sense, but we have to make sure that it's COVID secure. So we've had things like that to do. There is breakfast available for people. There are hot meals available for people.
So how can our listeners help? Is it just by donating money or clothing or food, or what can they do?
If they want to donate food, yes, please. Not to First Base, but to the food banks. Whitehawk Food Bank. I think there's one in Dorset Gardens. There's the Hangleton Food Bank. Support the local food banks. They are doing an incredible service and have been doing so throughout the year. Yes, we can always use things like warm jumpers and coats and waterproof coats. You know, we've had some terrible weather in recent weeks, and we do need people to have waterproof clothing if they are out on the streets. Money is always very, very much appreciated. Our fundraising at Brighton Housing Trust has hit the buffers. We have a whole range of fundraising activities throughout the year. We anticipate in most years raising up to £300,000 to keep First Base going, to keep our advice centres going. And the work of the advice centres is critically important, because last year they prevented 927 households from becoming homeless. We have three advice centres, one in Brighton, one in Eastbourne, one in Hastings. People often ask me, what is the best way to end rough sleeping and homelessness? And my answer is, let's end it before it begins. If we can actually prevent households from losing their home, then we don't have to pick up all the pieces. The families don't have the disruption to their lives. The children don't have to have disruption to their education. So prevention of homelessness is essential, but we do need the generosity of the public to maintain that service And when people do end up on the streets, for the reasons I outlined earlier, then we do need to have services like first base. So we anticipated £300,000 in a normal year. If someone donates £10, we can make sure people have a meal, that they can have a shower, they can wash their clothes, they can use the clothes store that we have at first base. So £10 makes a huge difference to an individual on the street. So think about the £5, the £10, the £30 that we rely on. And it is the generosity of the people of Brighton and Hove that makes this massive, massive difference to the lives of people who are unfortunate enough to find themselves on the streets.
And how can people donate those sums?
They can go onto our website, which is www.bht.org.uk, and they'll find buttons that they can press. They can send a cheque and made payable to Brighton Housing Trust, care of 144 London Road, Brighton, BN14PH, P for Peter, H for House.
Chris English was talking to Andy Winter of the Brighton Housing Trust about the challenges that they and their customers face at this time of year. If you'd like to find out more about the Brighton Housing Trust, you can go to their website, which is www.bht.org.uk.
On 97.2 FM and online at radioreverb.com, this is Radio Reverb. And you're listening to At Home This Morning, a programme for older listeners.
OK, let's go back to something a bit more cheerful for our next interview, namely to the subject of food, which we covered earlier in the programme. It's introduced by Chris English, and before we start, I must apologise for the fact that the sound quality in this interview isn't up to our usual standards. Here's Chris.
Ken Homsibe is the man who showed we Brits how to cook Asian food. He's the leading authority on Chinese cuisine and one of the most respected and celebrated TV chefs of all time. And he joined us now on At Home This Morning. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Chris. I hope you had a good meal.
Thank you very much for joining us. And tell me, we've all seen or have in our kitchens a wok. You must be the king of the woks, aren't you?
Well, it's one of the things that are part of the BBC centenary celebration. They call it 100 objects, and one of them is the Canal Wok. So I'm part of the landscape.
You're very much so. And what's the secret of making a Chinese meal at home?
Well, the thing is, you have to have everything prepared, but that's really quick and easy to do. And you need to just get a good wok and make sure your wok is hot before you add the oil. And then you're off and away. And one of the things, it's funny, one can say all these things, but one of the best ways to see this is, for instance, in videos, where I just made a batch of new videos that can be seen on lkk.com. And it shows you how to prepare quick, easy, affordable meals for a family of four under 5 pounds, and how you can enhance those meals. What enhances those meals are the addition of Lee Kum Kee sauces, which you can buy in your supermarket. And these sauces are just so available and delicious and good. And they just add, I think what the Brits really love. I think one of my favorite dishes is this stir-fry pepper with mush too, which is very popular in the UK. And what I add is the Lee Kum Kee Sichuan style hot and spicy stir-fry sauce. And boy, it will rock. Let's put it that way. And even though I suggest 1 tablespoon, some people can add more. Actually, at home, I add a little bit more because I noticed that the British palate tend towards spiciness now. And I just love all these spices. And I have to tell you, I'm addicted to their Li Kam Ki Chu Jiao chili oil sauce. Once you use that, oh my God, you will become addicted to it because it is so delicious. You can pour it on everything. I even pour it on my scrambled eggs when I have an English breakfast. It's so good.
And now, are the Chinese meals that we either cook ourselves or get in a takeaway authentic Chinese, or is it an anglicized version?
No, I think, you know, we're living in an age now where we get tastes of authenticity, but by the way, the ingredients that we use and the method that we cook in. If you see the videos and you see how I cook something, the wok is very hot. Well, that's really authentic. And the hot wok is what makes the authentic flavor, because it gives a grilled, almost smoky flavor. That's the hallmark of good cooking. And of course, all the takeaways, they're very professional and they do really authentic dishes. And it's funny how we migrated, because when I first came to this country in 71, a lot of the dishes were more anglicized. And that has changed now. And it's moved to really authentic taste, let's put it that way. And of course, we're not living in China. We're living here in the UK. And using good UK ingredients, you can create the same kind of authenticity of taste. And with the LKK sauces, they're perfect.
And have we got a favorite range of Chinese meals that we can cook ourselves? Or?
Oh, absolutely. You can cook, for instance, what I have on this website, braised cauliflower with oyster sauce. And I know that oyster sauce is very popular in this country. Because lots of Chinese dishes are made with it. And the cauliflower dish that I propose is so easy to make, and it's healthy, and it's just really, frankly, just simply delicious. I mean, it's really delicious. And the stir-fried chicken dish that I mentioned, and also people, once they see some of the dishes that I make, they can make it their own. In other words, they can add things to it. They can try different types of Li Kam Ki sauces that they might like. And what I try to encourage people to do is to be bold. And sometimes if I happen to have one of the Li Kam Ki sauces in my kitchen, I just try to throw it in. I taste it. And sometimes I create something totally new. I say, a new recipe. So in other words, just as long as you know the fundamentals of how to do it correctly, just as they said in Star Wars, just let the Force be with you.
And how healthy is Chinese food?
Well, according to the American Medical Association, an Asian diet in general is much healthier for you than any other. Why? Because it's full of veggies, and there's a balance of veggies and less meat. So yes, it's much healthier for you, because you tend to eat a more balanced diet. And of course, a more balanced diet is better for everybody.
And you've got a new cookbook or recipe book out. Ken Hom's Guide to Authentic Chinese Flavors.
Yes.
Is that available now?
No, it's if people just go on the LKK.com, they can just download it and use the recipes. And I would say, keep your walk up.
And what's your final message for people that say, yeah, all right, I'll get the walk down off the shelf and dust it off? What's the message for a good meal?
A good meal. Well, the message is buy the best ingredients you can. Try to buy seasonal ingredients, which tend to be much more affordable and fresher. And don't panic. It's really very, very easy. It's different from traditional British cooking, but cooking it in a wok and with the LKK sauces is fun and delicious.
Chris English was talking to Ken Holm about cooking with woks. You can find out more, and indeed download various recipes, from Ken Holm's website, which is simply kenholm.com. Now, of course, as Chris was saying earlier in the programme, Christmas is now over, and this is the time of year when we start seeing lots of adverts for holidays in the sun. This can be a problem, of course, for families with children, because they can only really take their children on holiday during the school holidays. But the travel companies tend to put up their prices during those holidays, so by going away during school term, you should be able to save money. Unfortunately, of course, this will probably damage your child's education and will certainly incur a fine. A company called Holiday Extras has recently conducted a survey to find out the extent of this practice, and they've come up with some alternative ways of saving money. To find out more, I talked to their chief financial officer, Hugo Loudon, and I began by asking him to tell me about the survey.
Holiday Extras conducted some research recently. We sampled 1,500 UK holidaymakers to really try and understand what they were doing to reduce the costs of their holiday in 2023. What that research found was that those without families, the two main things they were doing was firstly looking for the best deal for their holiday. And the second thing was looking at an alternative or cheaper destination. Now, if you isolate it for families only, what that research showed was that more than a third of them had already booked or were planning on booking a holiday during term time. That obviously incurs a fine for each child that is taken out of school. But even accounting for that fine, the cost of that holiday is 20% cheaper by going in the term time versus the holiday. So I fully empathize and sympathize with those families. I have four children myself. So when I come to book my holiday, absolutely how I reduce those costs will be front of mind.
Of course, taking children out during term time from the teacher's point of view is a bad thing. I know my wife is a teacher, which is retired now, but she was a teacher. And I asked her about it, and she's very, very definite that it shouldn't happen, because not only do they miss on learning, when they come back, they don't fit into the teaching plan that the teacher has made for the whole of that term, because they're behind.
Yes, no, I have four children myself, albeit at the younger end of the scale, but I have a lot of friends with children who are doing important exams. And obviously, it's vital they complete their studies at school. We would encourage, and whilst I sympathise with those families, we at Holiday Extras would really encourage them to look at different ways of reducing the cost of their holiday. The first one would be to book their holiday and the extras to that holiday well in advance. As an example, last year, Holiday Extras saved its customers who were looking to park at airports £100 per customer by them booking in advance rather than turning up at the gates and paying for their parking then. The second thing I would really encourage is for people to look at an alternative or cheaper destination. As an example, whereas previously one may have gone to the Canaries or the Balearics, look at somewhere like Senegal or Turkey, where, you know, has all the benefits of that traditional Mediterranean holiday, but your money will go that much further, as the pound is far stronger against those local currencies, and the flight time is only marginally further as well. So, you know, looking at a cheaper destination as well as booking in advance would be my two main tips for reducing the cost of your family holiday.
Right, of course, booking anything in advance tends to reduce the cost, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that's the holiday and the extras that come with it. You know, I think that will protect you from any rising costs that could incur near the holiday time. So absolutely, that's what I would encourage everyone to try and do.
Is there any advantage in booking a package? Does that keep the cost down?
Yes, that's certainly one of the ways that you can at least be in control of the money you're spending, is by going for an all-inclusive deal through one of the many travel agents that we have in our country. So yes, a package deal with a package of extras alongside it would absolutely be my recommendation.
Okay, where can people get more information?
So either you can go to www.holidayextras.com or simply just Google Holiday Extras Money Saving. And actually, on our website, we do have a lot of tips for travellers to reduce their cost of their holiday, which I would strongly recommend potential travellers to do.
And you're talking about holiday extras. Can you briefly tell me who they are?
Yes, we're a Kent-based travel technology business that offer the best range and price of all the extras around your holiday, namely car parking at airports, hotels at airports, travel insurance, car hire, lounges, fast track, and in resort transfer. So all those are the extras that are vital to having a stress-free, hassle-free holiday. You can find a holiday extras.
And are you tied up to any particular travel organisation?
No, we are independent. We work with a lot of key partners and suppliers who provide holidays themselves, and we provide the extras to that holiday. So, yes, we have a number of really strong partnerships with a lot of travel agents as well.
So you can book the holiday through your normal travel agent and still come to Holiday Extras to get the extras.
That's absolutely right.
OK, well, thank you very much, Hugo. Good advice from you.
Great. Thanks very much.
I was talking to Hugo Loudon of Holiday Extras about ways that you can save money on your summer holiday without having to take your children out of school during term time, which incurs various penalties. You can find out more information from their website, which is www.holidayextras.com. Now, back in the autumn, I had the pleasure of talking to two young female engineers who had just won a prestigious award for a device that they'd come up with. The award's called the Dyson Award, and I was interested to find out about it. Unfortunately, the sound quality on the Zoom link wasn't very good, but I hope it won't spoil your enjoyment. I began the interview by asking them to tell me their names.
My name is Deborah Babalola. I'm the co-founder of Dotplot, which is an at-home breast health monitoring tool, and I'm based in London.
I'm Shefali Bora. I am from India and currently based in London.
You've just won a prestigious award called the James Dyson Award. Can you tell me what it is?
Yeah, so James Dyson is an international award that celebrates the work of design engineers, encourages people to submit projects to do with design and engineering. It was just from all over the world, and it's just really exciting to win it.
I gather it's awarded to several different nations, but you're the UK winners. Now, you've won the award for a device called a Dot Plot. Can you tell me something about that?
Yeah, so Dot Plot is an at-home breast health monitoring tool, which is there to assist women to conduct their regular self-checks. And it is a combination of a hardware and a software, and essentially has its presence on a mobile application. So the women are expected to conduct these self-checks every single month with Dotplot, and it would compare monthly readings in order to flag any abnormalities that persist.
How do they actually perform this check?
Firstly, you'd be asked to put in details of your general health. So, for instance, your menstrual cycle, and if you have one, and your age and your height, etc. And then you'll be guided through the process of building a map of your torso, which involves putting in your bra size, your breast shape, and then using the device to rescale the baseline model that we've got. So you do that by sliding the device from each collarbone to each nipple, and then from nipple to nipple. Then once that's all set up, it will begin to guide you through the self-check process. So it will flash on the point that you need to check over. And then once you checked on that point, it flashed on the next one, and keep doing that until you've covered all the necessary regions. And then at the end of your check, you'll receive a report of what your breast tissue composition is looking like, which can then be compared to previous months to highlight if there are any changes that have been recorded.
I presume the device doesn't actually do the examination for you. You still have to do it by hand.
Yeah, that's correct.
The device is only there to record the tissue density at every single point.
How does it do that?
It uses sound waves, similar to how any ultrasonic device would work.
Oh, I see, yes. What gave you the idea for this invention?
We were working on this project as part of our master's. So it was a group project we were doing together. And we found that we were all very interested in designing for healthcare. So we started to look into different ways that people can monitor their health, because that was an area of interest for us. And while we were discussing this, Shefali was actually speaking about her experience of finding what felt like a lump within her breast. And then, do you want to tell your story?
Yeah. And then, yeah, I approached my aunt, who happens to be a gynecologist, and just spoke to her about how women are engaging with their breast self-checks on a routine basis. And if there's anything that's out there to, you know, resolve the confusion that comes up every now and then as you feel a stiffness or a lump within your breast tissue. And that's what got us really thinking in terms of how can we build something that would rule out all the confusion and misconceptions, plus also encourage you to conduct these breast self-checks by yourself.
And these checks have to be carried out monthly, I gather.
Yeah.
Now, you have come up with a product called a dot plot. So have you set up a company to make and market this?
Yeah, we set up a company, I think, in March. And post that, I think before that, we also filed a patent for it. Yeah, going forward, we're both full-time on it. And the goal is to do fundraising, build a team, get the product, do all that's necessary for product development and commercialization, including medical regulatory approvals and clinical trials.
Can you actually buy the dot plot now?
We're at an early stage of our development at the moment. So as Shefali was mentioning, we do have a way to go with our product development and then taking it through to clinical trials and getting it tested that way and making sure that we comply with all of the medical regulations. We do have some time before you're able to buy it, but we're just hoping to work on it as much as we can and as soon as possible get it into the hands of women.
Is it likely to be the sort of thing you can get on the National Health Service?
I mean, that's one of the avenues that we've been considering, but it's something that we still need to explore as we continue with our product development and understanding what our business strategy should be. So we're considering it, but we haven't put anything in stone yet.
Okay, so it's early days yet, but you've just received the award, so you thought you'd make it public. And many congratulations on that. Presumably the award comes with some money, does it?
Yeah, it does.
That'll be useful to you in developing the company.
Yes, yes, definitely. Go towards developing our product.
Yeah.
I know you're still working on developing the dot plot, but have you any other ideas that you might bring to market in the future?
I guess one thing that we can do with even dot plots technology is expand its usage from just using it for breast cancer to giving it out to men for testicular cancer and monitoring testicular cancer or early detection or promoting, or basically trying to figure out how we do early detection for testicular cancer as well. Mm-hmm. And that would be way further down the line once we have the technology up and running for dot plot right now. And I guess a few things in mind are just around the fact that women's health is something that's been of concern for a long time, and making solutions that are for the women and built specifically for women bodies is something that, yeah, is a motivation for us.
Where can people find out more information?
They can head to our website at www.dotplots.co. So that's dotplot.co. You can also follow us on Instagram at dotplot.co as well. And we also have a LinkedIn page, which is just dotplot.
So. Okay.
We just wanted to mention how big of a help James Tyson Award has been, because just having had our voices over such a place has basically given us voice to reach out to so many women and who've already shown interest in becoming participants and interviewees for Dot Plot going forward. So yeah, it's not just the financial help that we get from James Tyson Award, but also so much more in terms of the value that it's added to Dot Plot.
Sounds like a very useful idea. I hope you'll get it on the market before very long. Deborah and Shefali, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
And that interview brings us to the end of this edition of At Home This Morning, our magazine for older listeners. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything that you've heard in the last hour. There'll be another edition in fortnight's time. So in the meantime, it just remains for me, Richard Davis, on behalf of Grey Matters Productions, who make this programme for Radio Revo, to thank everyone who's taken part, and to wish you all the very best until we meet again. Goodbye.
At Home This Morning has been a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb.